Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, and then our text is verse 8. This will furnish the divisions for the message this morning. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. How unusual that Jesus declines to answer their questions in verse 6 about the restoration of national Israel, but instead he tells them in verse 8 how to bring in the kingdom spiritually. When we prayerfully analyze this oft-quoted Pentecostal text of verse 8, it yields four important principles for propagating of spreading the gospel. If we will commit ourselves to these four principles, we can spread or propagate the gospel in Pentecostal power. And we want to do that, don't we? Amen. The first principle I call the proximity principle, or the nearness principle. You'll see it in verse 8 in the first piece, which says, Jerusalem, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. That indicates that we should get busy witnessing to those who are nearest to us in geography and time after we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is to say, we should not sit idly by daydreaming about doing great exploits for God someday, somewhere far away. The little song we learned as children is applicable here. Brighten the corner where you are. Suggesting that we should get busy winning the lost who are nearest us in proximity of both time and geography. Many years ago, a lady came to Springfield, Missouri, to our international headquarters there to apply to the director of our missions program, to apply to become a missionary in Africa. And this leader sent her to minister to a family across town. Gave her a note saying, here's a family that is destitute, go and see what you can do to help them. Wasn't long until she came back aghast, saying they were a black family. But our leader of the missions program said, do you not know that the people in Africa for whom you profess a call to would be a missionary or black people. Somehow makes a difference in the mind of some when you have an Atlantic Ocean between you and them. The second principle for sharing or propagating the gospel in Pentecostal power, I call the relationship principle. Look at verse 8, the piece that says, in Judea, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, yes. Those in closest proximity, but also witness to those who, with whom we have some relationship, suggesting that we should get busy witnessing to those who are our relatives, our associates, our neighbors, our friends, our employers, our employees, our classmates. We have a very serious obligation to share the good news with those near us in our relationships, those who are under the sphere of our influence. Are you about to say amen? But you know, there's a tendency to skip those whom we know best, possibly because they know us best. And reach out to strangers. Some can get on very well with cold turkey evangelism in another district, on another island, in another nation. But it's among strangers, and they're tongue-tied among those who know them best. If we live the right kind of life before them, it will be a plus factor in witnessing. If we live wrongly, it will be a detriment in witnessing to those who know us best. Were you about to say amen?
Amen.
Satan will steal our burden for those nearest and dearest to us in our relationships if we let him do so. The third principle for sharing or propagating the gospel in Pentecostal power, I call the ethnic principle. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Yes, that's right close by. In Judea, that's where all the kinfolks had come from to Jerusalem, but also from Samaria. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. Now we're getting into some tough territory. These were the half-breeds. Half-Jew and half-Assyrian. So they were called Samaritans. The Jews were prejudiced against them. They hated them and they called them mongrels or dogs, and they despised them. You remember reading about the woman from Canaan who brought a demon-possessed daughter to Jesus, who said in Matthew 15, verse 26, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. But the woman responded in verse 27, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And verse 28, then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith, let it be to you as you desire. And how about the Samaritan woman at the well? And Jesus said he must needs go for Samaria. He raised the eyebrows of his disciples, I'm sure, because they so despised, along with the other Jews, they so despised the Samaritans, they wouldn't even go through their territory. They'd go way around in order to avoid having to go through the territory where these dogs live. And they were mortally surprised when, in John chapter 4, they found Jesus sitting on the well curb ministering to a Samaritan woman. He said, I have to do it. I must needs go through Samaria. Who was that on the way down to Jericho when the man fell among thieves, who came to help him? He wasn't the priest. He passed by on the other side. He wasn't the rabbi. He passed on the other side. It was a dog. A Samaritan who said, get him up from there, put him on my beast, take him to an inn, and say to the innkeeper, you take care of him, nurse him back to health, and when I've come by again, if there's anything owing, I will pay you. He was the good Samaritan. We're obligated to share the good news with all races, all classes, every socioeconomic level of people, people of every political persuasion. After World War II, our American GIs went back to the very shores where they had been wounded. One is a very dear friend of mine who pastored a church here in West Texas, wanted to be a missionary. He'd volunteered in the army when he was 17 years of age and was in MacArthur's invasion on the island of Leyte in the Philippines, and Jim Curtis got blasted out of the water and spent several weeks in a hospital trying to recover, and got patched up enough that he got back into the battle at Okinawa, and he got hit again as they invaded Okinawa and got so much shrapnel in his body they couldn't get it all out, so they sent him back home. He applied to be a missionary, but the missions department wouldn't let him go. They said, you're too unhealthy, you couldn't pass the physical. For 14 years in succession, Jim Curtis went to Springfield and knocked on the door of our missions department and said, I want to go. They said, you can't go, you're too unhealthy. Finally, on the 14th time that he went up there, they said, all right, we're going to let you go. We're crazy for doing it. You're not healthy enough to do it, but we're going to let you go. And the very place where Jim Curtis landed when he came back as a missionary to the Philippines was on the island of Leyte, where he helped develop a Bible school, went on to oversee the great Speed the Light program and other programs as a leader in the Philippines for many, many years, and then they forced him into retirement. He's been living up in the northeast where his wife, northwest where his wife's from, for a number of years now. Jim Curtis, he's like so many GIs after World War II, or Japan, or Korea, or Vietnam, or Fiji, or the New People's Army, NPA, in the Philippines, or Moro Liberation Front, the Muslim armies in the southern parts of the Philippine Islands, where Cherie served so faithfully. And then there's a fourth principle for propagating the gospel in Pentecostal power. This I call the universal principle. Look at verse 8 once again. The fourth piece of that says, to the end of the earth. To the end of the earth. We may do an excellent and complete job of propagating the gospel in Pentecostal power with respect to the nearness and the relationship and the ethnic principles, and still fall short on the universal principle. The Great Commission includes the whole world. Amen? Matthew 24:14, all the world as a witness to every nation. We're not allowed the option of being for home missions and against foreign missions, or being for foreign missions and against home missions. Is all one world, one universal commission, which is to the end of the earth. Praise God. I don't personally know anyone who has a genuine burden for souls across the seas who does not have a compassion for souls across the street. And conversely, I don't know anyone who really sees the spiritual needs of his unsaved neighbors on the other side of town who does not have a vision of the lost on the other side of the world. Praise God. We can fulfill this proximity and nearness principle and the relationship principle and the ethnic principle and the universal principle only after we receive the power of the Spirit in baptism. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Many years ago, before our missionaries were forced out of China by the communists, a missionary to China preached on the Good Samaritan and our neighborly responsibility. A farmer came to him after the service. This farmer owned 120 rich acres in Middle America. And he said to the missionary, "I disagree with you. The man who owns the farm next to mine is not, rather is my neighbor, not a Chinaman. I'm responsible for the man who owns the farm next to mine, and he is responsible for the next and for the next and for the next and so on." The missionary was hard-pressed for a moment, but God helped him. And he asked the farmer, "How deep is the property you own?" And the farmer said, "I really don't know." And the missionary said, "I know. I do know. Your property goes halfway through the earth. And if you look at the globe of the earth, you will discover that a Chinaman's farm borders your farm on the bottom side. You are responsible for that Chinaman. He is your neighbor." I've had the pleasure of witnessing for Christ in 42, 43 nations now. And one of the most stirring experiences I've had was in Guilin, China, the very bottom of China. A city of about 1 million population had one broad main street that was filled with bicycles, 100 or 200 bicycles across, and a crude truck or two, and one big old black Buick automobile that belonged to the hierarchy, whoever they were, and that was all the automobiles that I saw in the city of Guilin. On my way into that city, but there were broad sidewalks going up and down that main street, and bicycles 100, 150, maybe 200 wide, going riding, pedaling down that street. And on my way into Guilin, China, I stopped in Hong Kong and asked our missionary director there, head of China Radio, if they had any literature that would help me. And he gave me some copies of the Gospel According to John in Chinese characters, and he gave me several beautiful New Testaments with the Chinese characters on one page and English on the opposite page. And I don't know whether I should have felt bad about doing what I did or not. I smuggled those into mainland China. And passed them out here and there, tried to be on the fly as much as I could. My hotel room was not far from the main post office that had a little picket fence in front of it. I'd go down there and watch the people and watch for an opportunity to slip someone a piece of that literature. And one day, as I'd been down there and was making my way back to my room, two young men who spoke English, understandable English, said, "You'd better be careful. Because the Red Guard has you under surveillance. And so I tried to find some more sneaky ways to pass out my literature. As an example, drop one on the floor near the chair, the seat that I was sitting on, the couch, and then slide it under the couch and thinking that someday they would clean it under there and find it and I'd be gone. I finally came down to my very last piece of literature, which was one of those New Testaments with Chinese on one page and English on the other. And I wanted to make it count. And so I walked down to the post office area and stood there leaning against the fence that had about a 2x4 supporting the picket fence in front of the post office. I backed up and watched the people pass by, and eventually I slipped that book out of my belt and let it lie on that about 4-inch ledge in front of that post office, and then I quickly made my way out among the many people walking down that broad sidewalk and got up to the corner of the next building and stopped and looked back to see what would happen. And the Chinese man with a great hat on and those little sandals made out of rubber tires, what do you call those, made his way along, and he looked over there, and there was the distance that nearly from here to the back of this room, looked over there, and he saw that Bible. And he went over and picked it up and thumbed through it for just a moment, and he stuck it under his coat and made his way hurriedly along the sidewalk. And I fell in behind him at some distance. As he made his way along down that broad street, eventually it was growing dusk, and eventually he went down beside a bridge and into the rice paddies, instead of crossing over the bridge itself, into the rice paddies, and started out on the other side. And I was a little bit afraid it was getting close to dark to go down in there. And so I turned and went back toward my hotel to pray for that little Chinese man. I can only imagine that once, when he was a child, he had known the scripture and recognized what he had in his hands now. Or maybe he had never known, never had a Bible. I couldn't judge his age. And now he realized that he had a Bible in his hands. And so I went back to my room and I prayed for him. And I had the assurance that one day I would see that little Chinese man in heaven because of that piece of gospel literature that I delivered to him. How do you fulfill this proximity principle? And relationship principle. An ethnic principle and universal principle. We can do it only after we receive the power of the Spirit in baptism. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of you. Father, we thank you for your word and for the opportunity of proclaiming your word today and for the kindness and the goodness of these your people.